I know how indebted my country is to you. And so it is with emotion and honor that I come to you on behalf of France to say merci. Thank you.
My, how the times have changed. That was French President Emmanuel Macron speaking at Sydney's Anzac Memorial on the 2nd of May 2018. Now, of course, Macron is refusing to speak with Prime Minister Scott Morrison after Australia nuked its $90 billion French submarine deal. On the same day that he visited the Anzac Memorial, Macron gave another speech setting out France's new Indo-Pacific strategy. Two defence partnerships, with India in the Indian Ocean and Australia in the Pacific, are central elements of this strategy. So how much of a blow to France's regional ambitions is Australia's nuking of the French submarine deal? Hervé Lemahieu is director of research at the Lowy Institute, and he has a focus on Indo-Pacific power and diplomacy. So I guess you've been very busy lately, Hervé. Welcome back to Sunday Extra.
Yeah, it's certainly been a very tumultuous couple of weeks, to say the least, but interesting times.
Yes, indeed. In the Chinese sense, although that's the thing that's not so much spoken in these strategic questions, I suppose, there are about 1.5 million residents of French territories in the Indo-Pacific region. France is the only EU power with a permanent military presence in the region, and two-thirds of the massive French exclusive economic zone are in the Pacific. What exactly is France's Indo-Pacific strategy?
Well, as we heard from President Macron earlier in that clip, France's Indo-Pacific strategy was first launched in France, its famous Garden Island speech in Sydney in May 2018. And in many respects, it was modeled on Australia's Indo-Pacific strategy. So they really took inspiration from Canberra, linking both the Indian and Pacific Oceans. We are an island continent on which straddles both these massive oceans, and France has territories in both these oceans. And so they saw an opportunity to link essentially their very disparate chain of territories in the Indian Oceans and the Pacific Oceans, and come up with a strategy for the region that would really put France in first place as a sort of central European power here, and try to articulate a vision for a stable and multipolar region. That's what they call it, not necessarily one that is all about U.S. primacy, but certainly not one that's about Chinese unipolarity. It's about trying to put France in this concerted push by middle powers, Australia included, India also, to try to do significant things both in the absence of the U.S. and in defiance of China as an economic powerhouse.
It's interesting that you describe the French Indo-Pacific strategy as inspired by Australia's strategy. Within that strategy, how important is Australia and how important was the Australian submarine deal?
Well, the submarine deal was the crown jewel in the Australia-French sort of strategic partnership, and it was one of the principal legs on which the French conceive of their Indo-Pacific strategy. The other leg is still with India. And so France also built up a very strong strategic partnership over the last few years with President Modi in India. And there, too, there is a sort of underlying defense commercial agreement, in this case to provide India with aircraft, so not submarines, but 36 Rafale fighter jets to refurbish India's rusting air force. So that's a deal worth 7.8 billion euros or 9.4 billion US dollars. Similarly, they sort of conceived of India as being this sort of like-minded middle power partnership for France on which it could really build its Indo-Pacific strategy.
The rationale for France's Indo-Pacific policy is the economic and strategic importance of the region this century, despite whatever's happened on the sort of contractual front. That is all still the case. Does France now have to choose between its stated aim of being an inclusive and stabilizing mediating power, and its perhaps understandable desire for payback.
Yeah, well, it will be difficult. And we've already seen that in some sense play out. So the initial reaction was very emotionally charged, let's put it that way. And I think the French were genuinely caught off guard and humiliated by the lack of consultation on the part of Australia, the UK and the US, particularly for the United States, because let's keep in mind, Australia and France have a strategic partnership, but they are not formal mutual defense treaty partners. We don't have a formal alliance with France, but France and the United States, they do, of course, have a transatlantic relationship framed by NATO. This wouldn't be the first time that there has been a falling out in that relationship between the US and France. The Iraq War was one of them. You have to go back to the Suez Crisis. It was another very pivotal moment for the French. And they have a very unsentimental view of the US in that sense. But I think what it means for France now, it's quite interesting because in many ways they do feel humiliated. In some sense, it's genuine emotion here. In some sense, it's about strategic flagging of the fact that, hey, we are more than just a commercial partner to Australia. We are a strategic player in our region. There may also be a little bit of, trying a negotiating tactic to try to maximize concessions as a condition for, especially around how they unwind this contract now, as a condition for normalizing ties with Australia. So there's a range of motivations here at play, but I think on top of that, they do face a real challenge of how do you pivot in the Indo-Pacific without Australia, coming from the humiliation of the sub snub, they have fewer partners to rely on. So the India relationship, the Japan relationship become much more important. Some Southeast Asian countries like Indonesia and Vietnam, which France has also concluded strategic partnerships with, they become more important. But broadly speaking, these are countries that are more or less aligned with the US in its Indo-Pacific strategy. And there isn't that much that France can really do. On top of that, there is also the geographic reality that Australia remains a neighbor of France. And quite critical, I mean, it's both to Australia and France, is the fact that there's a French territory called New Caledonia, which is coming up for a referendum, an independence referendum in December. And again, that will be an issue that has to be worked through by both Australia and France. So there are a number of issues beyond the submarine deal, which speak to France's strategic convergence with Australia and the fact that in the long term, we probably will see some degree of normalizing of those ties, despite the damage done and despite the trust lost, because I don't think we'll ever recover those levels of trust.
Yes. On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Hervé Lemahieu from the Lowy Institute about the French Indo-Pacific policy and how badly it's been affected by the sub-snub. We heard President Macron speaking very emotionally before Hervé, and it did make me wonder, is the damage that's been caused by this decision potentially containable to Macron and the current administration, or do you think it really has left an enduring and perhaps indelible mark on diplomatic relations between Australia and France?
I think it will have a long legacy, and the French have long memories as well. So I don't think I think we're going to be living with this for the next few years and potentially up to a decade. And what it means in the first instance, just very concretely, is, for example, that Prime Minister Scott Morrison can't pick up the phone to President Macron. So much of the France's Indo-Pacific engagement and outreach will now be done through other parties and directly with the United States. So in some sense, I think Australia has lost a little bit of its middle power stature in the eyes of Paris. And it will sort of work around Australia, not necessarily against Australia, but certainly not, include Australia directly.
That's interesting, yes, because I did wonder whether France's strategy, which it's described as a fair and efficient multilateralism, whether arguably that's more in Australia's national interest than being seen yet again as merely the deputy or junior power to the USA in the region. What are your thoughts on that, Hervé Lemahieu?
Yeah, I think what what we as Australians misunderstood about the fallout from this AUKUS deal, in some sense, it makes a lot of sense as a sort of defence acquisition for Australia, albeit one that will take place in the very long term. We're not talking about nuclear-propelled submarines anytime soon.
Yes, we might be able to repair the diplomatic relationship before we get any of the subs.
That's right, but in concept, it makes sense. But sometimes a sort of tunnel vision on defense diplomacy and on doubling down and deepening our existing alliance with the United States comes at the cost of our peripheral vision. You know, at the end of the day, the Indo-Pacific is a multipolar region. We have to engage and reach out to a variety of actors, not all of whom see eye to eye entirely. Some countries like Indonesia are very sort of, let's call it, non-aligned when it comes to not wanting to make the choice between the US or China. Some middle powers like the French are very proud and they see themselves working sort of in broadly similar terms or in alignment with the US, but not directly in cooperation with the US. So we do have to be careful. And what happened here is simply that our focus on Indo-Pacific minilateral configuration, so in this case, a trilateral between the UK, the US, and ourselves, collided with that sort of longstanding transatlantic tradition of multilateralism, where if you think about NATO, it's all about multilateral cross-bracing between a very large group of allies in which France expects to be consulted and seen as an equal. And so there was a sort of clash of cultures, misunderstanding throughout, and lots of disappointment. But I think what the French misunderstood about Australia was that when the deal was signed for the submarine program with Naval Group, which was at that time DCNS, that was led by Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. And of course, we have many prime ministers, and Turnbull was basically an exception to the norm. Turnbull is a Republican, he's a Francophile, he's an Anglo-skeptic, and his worldview, I think, gelled very well with the French view of themselves and their part in this region. But the Anglospheric currents in Australian foreign policy go far deeper, and in some sense, this is a return to older traditions, and perhaps the France simply misunderstood its relative importance for Canberra.
Very interesting. Yes, even on the international diplomatic stage, the personal is political. Hervé Lemahieu, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning.
Thank you.
That's Hervé Lemahieu, the Director of Research at the Lowy Institute, whose focus is on Indo-Pacific power and diplomacy.